the same. Praise your name.
No other name
that is higher. No other name that is stronger. No other name. Forever I will praise your name. No other name
that
can heal us. No other name
that
can free us. No other name. So precious, praise the name. Praise the name above all names, the one who reigns forever, still the same. Praise the name, Jesus, name above all names. Praise the name. No other name that is higher. No other name that is stronger. No other name. Forever I will praise the name. No other name can heal us. No other name can free us. No other name. So precious, praise the name. Every nation, all creation, we proclaim your name. Every nation, all creation,
how wonderful it is to gather together with people of like precious faith, to lift hands and voices and honor and praise unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. How worthy you are, Jesus. How worthy you are, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I've had the opportunity to travel some and been in areas of the world where people would come and drop money in a little box and grab some sticks of incense and make their way into a temple and kneel before a God who is dead. Pray. Be sincere. Be honest in their intent, their motive. Wanting an answer, wanting help, wanting strength. But their God has no ears and cannot hear. I'm thankful that I can come into the house of the Lord and know that His ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, neither His arm short that it cannot save, that when I cry out unto Him, He hears, that He is a living God. Huh. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm so appreciative of the opportunity I have to come into His throne room. Because of the blood of Jesus, to lift my hands and lift my voice, to make my petition and request known unto Him. Hallelujah. What an absolute privilege it is to serve the living God. Hallelujah. One more time, why don't you give Him a hand clap of praise, an applause of appreciation. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, it feels so good to be in the house of the Lord, to feel His presence, to magnify His name that's above every name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Whatever you have need of here this morning, you need to know you're in the place. You're in the power and presence of an almighty God who can heal, who can help, who can deliver, who can uproot bitterness, who can take stuff out of the heart. Years of counseling and psychological help can't do, God can do in just a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Your love, your mercy, your help, your strength, God. I'm honored to be here this morning to lift you up and magnify your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Our announcements that are available on the newsletter, do want to make mention of one thing. This coming Friday and Saturday night, there's a flyer on the bulletin board, First Apostolic Church of Aurora, our closest neighboring church. It's only about a 35-minute drive from here. They're having Youth Week services Friday night, 7:30 p.m., Saturday, 6 p.m. If you are available to go and make yourself present at those times and those services, I promise you, you will not be disappointed. You will be blessed. And if you need more information, it's on the flyer at the back. If you have your Bibles, you would be so kind. Many of you love the Word of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. I remind you, next Sunday is our Bread Sunday, the first Sunday of every month, where we acknowledge those that are keeping up with their daily Bible readings. We encourage you to, if you're not caught up, take this next week and catch up. And that way we can give you a little token of appreciation for your commitment to read the Word of the Lord. John, chapter number 12. In reading in verse number 20, Gospel of John, chapter number 12. Word of God reads, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. Same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus." Everybody say, "They were seeking." "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come, the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered also. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the prince of this world shall be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, we have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? And Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. The beginning of this passage, the Bible says that there were Greeks who would come up to worship at the feast, and they came to Philip and said, sir, we would see Jesus. We're seeking to find Jesus. The last part of this passage, the Bible says, Jesus spake these things, departed, and did hide himself from them. I want to preach to you upon this subject. Ultimate hide and seek. Ultimate hide and seek. Can we pray? Dear Jesus, I'm thankful for the power of your presence I feel in this place this morning. I pray that hearts would be open, God, to your word. Lord, your word's already anointed. Now I pray that you would anoint me as your vessel, God. Oracle of your choosing to preach unto your people, to impart unto them what you have given unto me, what you have placed in my heart. God, let me deliver it with courage and conviction. God, let me do so in the way that you would have it done, God, to stir the heart, God, to break up any fallow ground, God, to remind us, God, of who we are and who you are, God, and look into the perfect law of liberty, God, and allow your word, God, to do its precious work in our lives. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your wonderful, precious name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask it and believe it to be done. And everybody said, amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Ultimate hide and seek. Many who walk in this journey with Jesus can attest to these things. Can attest to the fact that initially for many of us, if not all of us, whether we were raised in this or whether we came into this from the outside, there was somewhere along the line some initial curiosity. It was something that caused us. Maybe it was a tragedy, or maybe it was a circumstance beyond our control. Maybe it was a realization of the road in which we were walking and the destruction that we were destined for. Maybe for some of us, like myself, who grew up in this thing, there had to come a point in time where I began to search for myself and I began to look, not based upon what mommy and daddy said, but based upon my own desire and my own curiosity, my own longing to seek and to find some answers for myself. whatever the occasion is, whatever it was that brought you to the place or brought you to the understanding that there was more, that there was something to be sought after, that there were answers to the questions in your mind. Whatever it was, whatever that initial curiosity was that caused you to seek after, maybe it wasn't even that you were seeking after God. Maybe you were just seeking something else, or you were seeking something new or something different, and then all of a sudden something led you to go into a church or to speak to an individual, and then words of life were spoken unto you, or you heard them preach from a pulpit, and then that curiosity began to be stirred even more. You begin to long and you begin to desire to find the answers to the questions, to know what it means to live, to know what it means and why you're here and what life is all about. The questions that many of us, if not all of us, ask at certain times and in certain places. But for many of us, it was an initial seeking, an initial desire, a longing to know more. Then we found the answers. We found help. We found strength. We found stability. We found truth. We found that which we had longed for and we desired. And we found the grace of God and the mercy of God and the love of God. We found the truth. We found salvation, whatever the situation may be. But the reality is that when we found it and when we finally reached that place where we understood things we did not understand prior, the reality is the questions did not stop coming. We still sought for more. We still seek for more. We still desire more. And the more we read and the more we find and the more we understand, the more revelations, the more clues, the more understandings, the more teachings that we find along the way, the more if we're serving Him and desiring to know more, the more our curiosity is stirred, and the more we do seek and the more we do want to understand, the more we do want to know. We seek and we desire. The more we realize and the more we understand, one of the great truths that enter into the heart and mind of someone who is seeking after God is the reality that this world is headed in the opposite direction. The understanding, the more and more that I serve God, is how contrary to the service of Christ this world is. How its way does not follow the way of God. How its way does not seek to please God. How its way is not a way of faith. How its way desires to do something different and to seek to elevate its own and to seek after its own. And the more and more I walk in this journey with Jesus, the more I follow in His footsteps, the more I realize His footsteps lead away from this world. He is the epitome of the contradiction to culture. He walked in such a way that those that heard about Him or those that witnessed His miracles or heard in the ear what He had done, they desired, they sought, they went to try to find Jesus. I would say that in the heart of a true believer, as things that are hidden become found and as truth is revealed, it is at those points and at those crossroads where I must decide whether or not I will seek further or whether I will hide from truth's reality. Whether I will seek to know more. Whether I will seek for more to be revealed, because the reality is many times the more the goodness of God that is revealed, the more the bad of me is revealed. Paul, as he wrote throughout the epistles, you find a progression not only in his understanding of the glory of God, of the depths and the riches and the wisdom of God, but you also find a digression in his own image of himself. So the reality is, as I seek and things become found, it is at those points when I find a revelation or I find a truth or I find a principle and a precept, I find something that pleases God, something that I should seek after and strive after. When that truth is revealed, when that understanding comes to light in my heart and in my mind, it is at that point I have a decision to make. Either I follow after it. I seek further enlightenment. I seek further in truth. I seek to further understand why and what the Word says and why the Word says it. Or I decide, wait a second, that truth is too real. That truth shines some light in the dark corners of my life. That truth reveals some secrets that I'd rather keep hidden. That truth enlightens me. And I see the inadequacies, I see the failures, I see the inferiority that exists in my life when compared to the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's sad to note that many stop in their journey. Many cease, many detour and head another direction because what is revealed in the truth, it is brought out in their seeking and in their searching, and what they find is not really what they expected to find. But it is that continual game, if you will, the ultimate hide and seek, the ultimate good and evil, darkness and light, where I seek the goodness and freedom of truth and faith, or I hide in evil and the bondage of deceit and doubt. You see, life, if you will, is the ultimate game of hide and seek, but it is not at all child's play. For the end thereof is eternal. Bible says in verse 20 of where we read, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The reality is that these were Gentile proselytes who had somewhere along the line had been seeking and searching for something outside of their idolatry, something outside of the myths and everything that they had been taught and raised to understand. And somewhere along the line, these Greeks who had multiple gods, who had pantheon of images that they worshiped, these Greeks decided we want something different. We want something more. So somewhere along the line, these Greeks became Gentile proselytes. And the Bible said they had come up to worship at the feast. They had come to do what Judaism had required of them and what they were now serving and doing. And even though they were not Jews, they were proselytes. They had come to worship at the feast. Maybe upon entering the city or maybe upon entering the area around about, we don't know exactly where they came from or where home was for them, but somewhere along the line they heard about this man, Jesus. Somewhere in their travels, somewhere in their social circles, somewhere these Greeks, we don't know how many, we don't know their names, we don't know where they're from, but we do know there's curiosity. We do know there's seeking in their heart. They come somehow. They figure out. Maybe they're told, or maybe it just comes to their somehow to their knowledge that this man Philip is a follower of Jesus. So they come to Philip. They say, "Sir, we would see Jesus. We want to see this man we've heard about. We want to see this man has done all these miracles. We've heard that there's teaching. We've heard that there's teaching that is beyond what we understand and what we know in Judaism. We understand that some of what he's saying is not in the hearts and minds of those who keep the law exactly right. And so our curiosity, our seeking, our desire to find out what this man is saying, and sir, we would see Jesus." Initial seeking, initial desire. We don't know what prompted their curiosity. We don't know what it was that caused them to have the interest that they did. But we do know that their interest is expressed. And they come to Philip and say, "We seek Jesus." Might I say this? People will initially seek for many reasons. I would venture to guess that of those that were gathered of the Greeks, that there were some who just wanted to see Jesus just to say, "I saw him." There were some that wanted to see Jesus to hear what he had to say. There were some that wanted to see Jesus to see if he would perform a miracle in their midst. I would assert that there were probably many different reasons among these Greeks as to why they wanted to see Jesus. But they wanted to see him nonetheless. See, there's a reality that plays even in our time that there's many people who are curious, what goes on in that church? Why do I walk along the sidewalk and hear out of that church what I don't hear out of other churches? What goes on there? Why do they live like they live and do what they do? What's going on? There are many things which cause people to initially seek. Some, they want God to help them out of their situation. They want God to remove them from the mess that they've created in their own lives. Some just want to see what's going on. Some just want to venture in the midst to see if maybe a miracle will happen, or someone will be healed, or someone will be slain in the spirit, or someone will speak in other tongues, or what. There's initial curiosity which will creep into the heart and mind of many individuals for many different reasons, but reality is it can't stay just initial curiosity, because continuing in the search takes faith. Continuing to seek after the things of God is something that does not happen just by happenstance. Continuing to search and continuing to look and continuing to find things, it happens on purpose. Nobody follows Christ on accident. Nobody pursues the things of Christ just because other people pursue the things of Christ. People who truly pursue God do so from a heart that says, I want to know more. I want to see more. I want to be exposed to more. I want to encounter more. People with a true heart that's seeking after God is not satisfied with today or yesterday. They want something tomorrow. In this ultimate game of hide and seek, if you will, the Bible tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. We have to. Somewhere along the line, we have to understand that this journey with Jesus is not one that is accessed by my five senses and that only. It's not one that just is tangible, but it's one that is often intangible. It's one where the reward is not often seen right away. It's one where it's illogical to many, and it doesn't make sense to most. But if we stay in it through our faith, we understand that the reward that awaits on the other side, what we find in the seeking is worth everything we do to seek. The treasures that are unearthed, the things, the jewels, the riches of the Word of God that are brought to the surface as we seek and as we brush away the other things of life, those things, when we find them, become so precious and so worth it. Here in this life, what happened in this particular situation is these Greeks who came and wanted to seek Jesus, they had interest, they had curiosity, they were seeking. But what Jesus has to say doesn't really make sense to them. What Jesus begins to tell them about himself, this miracle man, this one they have called the Messiah, this one that they themselves, the Bible says, recognize, and they say that the law says that Christ shall abide forever. And you're saying that you're going to be lifted up. They knew what Jesus was saying. The Bible says this spake he of the death. They knew Jesus was not being coy. Jesus was not trying to cover up what was about to take place. Jesus was saying, now the hour's come. It's that time when I'm going to be glorified. Father, glorify thy name. And the voice comes from heaven, I have glorified it and will glorify it again.
I've glorified it in your walk. I've glorified it in your talk. I've glorified it in your miracles. I've glorified it in all that you've done. But I'm about to glorify it again. And when they lift you up from the earth, I read that scripture, and I've read it numerous times, and I know many have said it, and it's a great scripture. Jesus says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And I know he's speaking of the cross. The Bible says he's speaking of the death. He's signifying by which death he shall die. But as I begin to read that and understand that, I realize that Jesus is the only one worthy of being lifted up. Jesus is the only one who could bridge the gap between humanity and divinity. Jesus is the only one who has the power, because he is God manifest in the flesh, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing the trespasses. Jesus is the only one worthy to be lifted up. And when I lift him up in my praise, and when I lift him up with my hands, and when I lift him up in my voice, it's as if I am presenting what happened on Calvary in the presence of Almighty God. But they didn't get it. They didn't understand it. They said, what do you mean? We want to hear about reigning and ruling. But yet you speak about being reviled and ridiculed. We want to hear about exaltation, but you're talking about humiliation. We want to hear about power, but you're talking about submission. We want to hear about living, but you speak of dying. Except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it bring forth much fruit. Come on, you, the miracle man, you're attesting that you are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God. You and the Father are one. And yet you're saying that you're about to die. You're saying that you're about to be lifted up. You're about to be placed on a cross. You're about to be crucified. This doesn't make sense. We want to hear about reigning and ruling. But what you speak of doesn't sound much like reigning and ruling. We want to hear about exaltation, but what you're about to experience, if what you say is true, is ultimate humiliation. See, one thing we need to understand, and the truth that many people find, and the reality is, it's the truth that many times turns them off, is that the way of the cross is such that sacrifice shows the love of God. The way of the cross is such that sacrifice shows the love of God. Romans 5:6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love. God revealed, God showed, God approved his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, it's one of the most popular verses in all the Bible, and people love to quote it because they love to see the one side of it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And yes, it is so true, and yes, those words are beautiful to the ear. But the reality is, there's another side to that equation. While the way of the cross and sacrifice shows the love of God, and His sacrifice reveals His love for us, it is then my sacrifice that shows my love for Him. The side of that coin, the other part of that equation is, well, God loves us and His love is unconditional. And His love is a love that is beyond our understanding. And His love is an agape love. His love is a never-failing love. My sacrifice then reveals whether or not I truly love Him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Jesus says, if my word abide in you, then you will do these things. You will follow after me. You will show. James said, I show you my faith by my works. Let me just say this. We got to be careful. I've heard it said, and people have even said to me, well, I believe. Well, if you do, you would be different. Well, he believes. Well, if he did, then he would be different. Almost as if the belief, and we compensate for people who don't follow and do what they know to do, even though they believe it. I'm sorry, if they believed it, they would do it. James said, I show you my faith by my works. It's another message for another time, but the reality is, I reveal my love for God and my willingness to sacrifice. See, that's the truth that many people find as they read the Scripture, as they continue in this journey with the Lord. That's why Jesus said, if any man will follow after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and come and follow me. Because if you're going to follow me, if you're going to serve me, then that service will include sacrifice. That service will include you following in my example, sacrificing yourself. Then the Bible says it, Jesus makes this statement. They don't understand really what he's saying. They're trying to figure out why this man that they have sought after and they've come seeking is giving them this type of information, that he's about to die, that he's about to be lifted up. And then Jesus says in verse 35, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. If you're going to seek, now's the time to seek. If you're going to seek, if you're going to search, now's the time to search. Lest darkness come upon you, and you're not able to find. Last night as I was closing things up around the house, and it's getting dark, my little bud Landon came up to me, his real sad face. Dad, I can't find my toy. I need a flashlight. I said, well, what toy did you lose? And he explained the toy to me, and I said, all right, bud. So I went in my truck, and I got a flashlight, and I gave it to him, and saw him walk out in the backyard, and he was using light, and he's playing with it, shaking it all along the ground. I realized he wasn't really looking anymore. So I came over to where he was and grabbed the flashlight from him. I said, is it in this area? He said, yeah, I dropped it right in this area. And about 2 feet from where he was standing, I shined on the ground, and there was his toy. And I used the flashlight. I said, is it in this area right here? And I held the flashlight over the little toy, and it dawned on him. Maybe Dad is holding the flashlight where it is. And he looked down Yep, that's it, Dad. I thought to myself, you know, kind of like us. We have the light. We live in a world full of darkness, and there's things to be found. There's things to... But many times, like little Landon, it's right there. It's in close proximity. It's something that... where we can find it, but we're... Light has become entertaining in of itself. Catch this. The light has lost its purpose. Catch where I'm going with this. The salt has lost its savor. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing to be cast down and trodden underfoot. Ye are the light of the world. Catch the inference and the understanding. God has given this unto me. God has shown this light into my life. And I have reached that point of enlightenment. And I was seeking at some point. And light and understanding came. And it came upon me. And now I found some precious truths. And I found some jewels in the Word of God. And I'm still seeking and I'm still searching. But to understand that while it is light and while I have the light, there are things to be found. And there are things to be looked for. And there are things to be searched for. And this game of hide and seek, if you will, is not something to be trifled with and just played around with. But God has given me a light to find some precious truths and some great understanding. Standing, not just for me, but for others. Jesus said, walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. Believe in the light that you may be children of light. Shine forth, because if you shine forth and you sacrifice and you give yourself as an example and you die daily and you give of yourself, guess what? In doing that, you show sacrifice. And in your sacrifice, you show love. And in that love, it presents the image of me. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Oh, saint of God, oh, seeker of truth, oh, lover of his word, take the light, walk in the light, be a child of light. Because there are those that sit in darkness. There are those who desire and they seek and they want. I thought about this many, many different times. Those individuals that we easily pass off. Those individuals that we look at because of their lifestyle and because of their what they go through and what they deal in. We often discredit the availability of their being like us. Man, God has shown me many times what they do and how hard they live shows that there's a seeking. It's not directed right. It's not pointed in the right direction. But they're seeking. They're seeking, yeah. The way this world is going, we understand they're seeking. They're not seeking after God, but they're seeking. They're seeking fulfillment. They're seeking satisfaction. They're seeking belonging. They're seeking validation. They're seeking. They're searching. Go to great lengths in what they do and what they participate in and what they subject themselves to do to feel accepted, to feel a part, feel loved. seeking. So when I look at that individual that others might discredit and say, no, go so far away from God, I've come to understand, wait a second, they're seekers. They're just seeking in the wrong direction. And if I, through the power and love of Jesus Christ, could ever lift up Jesus where they change their direction, where they start looking at Him and His Word, that same desire which caused them to go and do all those things and subject themselves to all type of atrocities and things in life, that same desire, that same longing to seek and to find, if I could ever... It's no wonder some of our greatest evangelists and some of our greatest speakers are individuals who live such a horrible life and who sought after this world and the things of this world. But when God rose up and when they saw Jesus, they turned around and began to do different. And then this happened. Jesus says, walk in the light, believe in the light, maybe children of light. He speaks these things. They're seeking Him. They're desiring a word. They're desiring to understand Him. And He speaks stuff they don't get, they can't grasp. He talks about walking in the light, being children of light. He speaks these things. And then the Bible says this. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide Himself from them. Saw it, they were seeking, found, and then He said and spoke these things, and then He hid. Something I've come to understand and know in my journey with the Lord. Sometimes I look in front of me and I don't see Him there. Behind me and I can't perceive Him. On the right, on the left, where He doth work. Lord, I found great revelation and understanding, and I found peace about the situation and truth and mercy and grace. And then all of a sudden it seems like I don't see You. Like I want to see You. You understand where I'm coming from. It's almost as if You've hid Yourself again. It's almost as if I found it. Gotcha. And I realize the great truth and precious jewel that is there that I found, but then I look around and there's more. There's more to find. There's more to this. There's more understanding. There's more to God than just this. There's more revelation and there's more understanding because He was there and He spoke these things to me and He spoke into my life and I got a word from the Lord, and then I look around and it's like He's hid Himself again. See, the Lord understands this, and the Lord does this on purpose, and the Lord is this type of God for a reason. Because our God enjoys the game. Come on, Pastor. Yeah. Because it takes faith to keep playing. Because when I find Him, I find that truth and I find that jewel, and I'm operating therein and everything's going good, but then all of a sudden, things aren't so well, and circumstance and situation come, and I'm looking for God in this, and I don't see Him. It's at that point where I must make a decision. Do I continue searching? Do I, in doubt and disbelief, just give up and retreat back to the shadows, hide in the darkness, do I seek after him? Do I continue to play the game? For without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God I'm going to say it again. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. I came to God at that revival service. I came to God at that one particular time. I came to God as a result of that tragedy, and I found his peace and I found his help, and I believe that God led me there, and that was a God encounter, and that was a God thing, and he brought me there, and I understood my need for repentance, and I repented. I came to God and I believe that he is. Then we started talking about baptism. I believe that he is, and I found God in repentance, and I found forgiveness of my sins, but now there's more. And so faith has to come into play again. And now I have to believe there's more. For without faith, it is impossible to please him. He enjoys the game. Keep playing. There's more. There's another space on the board. Come on, don't stop. Don't give up here. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. I have no doubt that he was God at repentance, that he was God to forgive my sin. But he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe and I came to God and he is. But then there's more. And now I seek for more. And so you're telling me that I need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins? Yes, there's more. I came to God in repentance and I believe that he is. And so now I'm going to seek and I'm going to study and I want to know more about this baptism and what happens and what goes on when I'm baptized. So I'm going to seek some more. And now I come to baptize and I'm baptized in his name. And I come to God in baptism and he remits my sin. And I believe it's a God thing. I came to God in baptism. And I believe that he is. I believe that he forgave me of all my sin. And he remitted my sin. I came to him and I believe that he is. But wait, there's this thing called receiving the Holy Ghost. What? I came to him in repentance and I repented and then I sought and I was seeking and searching and I was led to baptism and I was baptized in his name and my sins were remitted, but there's more. Yes, there's more. Yeah. Oh, tell me about this Holy Ghost. Tell me about the infilling of the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to know more about it, preacher. It's been so good. The repentance was so great. And be baptized in his name. It's as if I got a new lease on life. And now you're telling me that I can walk in a newness of life. That I can have his spirit inside of me helping me live. Yes, there's more. And God enjoys the game. It pleases him. Come on. Come on a little further. You're here now. Come on a little further. Come on. I tell people all the time, be patient with the process and enjoy the journey. For he that seeketh, findeth, and him that asketh, receiveth, and unto him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. So I came to him in repentance and he's there. Ooh, I believe he's God. Forgave my sins. I came to him in baptism and He remitted my sins. I was baptized in his precious name. And then I came to him, received the power of the Holy Ghost in my life, in filling of his spirit. And oh, how wonderful. How joyous. That's it, right? No. No. That's not it. There's more. There's more. How unsearchable. I'll never find it all, but I'll enjoy the journey. I'm going to keep looking. As long as there's life in this body, I'm going to keep looking. I'm going to keep searching. I'm going to keep reading the Bible. I'm going to keep praying. Why? Because there's more. And now, I'm learning that there's a grace that teaches me that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, I can live soberly and righteously in this present world. And now I'm learning more about the mercy of God. And now I'm learning more about the power of God. And now, you see, I'm still on the journey just like you. We're all in this thing together. And it's the ultimate game of hide and seek. And the Lord loves playing. And I, if I truly desire to serve him, I'll enjoy it. I'll find him here and then look for him over here. And I'll find him there and I'll look for him over here. And I'll find him there and I'll look for him over here. And I'll find him and And here's what Paul said. No matter where you are in this journey, maybe you've just started or maybe you've been on this thing for a long time. Walk by faith and not by sight, but here's the beautiful thing. If I just feel after him, I'll find out he's not very far from any one of us. God does not call us from a great distance. He calls us from within reach. He calls us where if we just feel after him, we'll find out he's not very far from any one of us. And how I feel is in faith. I walk by faith and not by sight. And I just believe there's something more. And I just believe there's greater understanding and there's greater revelation. I just believe there's more. You've been in this thing for most of your life. Yes, I know, but there's more. And tomorrow is going to present another opportunity to find more. And the next day is going to present another opportunity to keep searching. So the reality is, it really comes down to, do I want to stay in the game? Do I want to keep playing until eternity? Do I want to keep playing until God says, okay, that's enough. Gabriel, blow the trumpet. I'm coming out of hiding completely. It's the ultimate game of hide and seek. And it takes faith to keep playing. And oh, I would that some who I know had such potential to play in the game, who I knew God would use them mightily if they ever just kept playing the game, if they ever just set the doubt and the fear and the unbelief aside and begin to mix the word with faith, all of a sudden things would begin to happen. And I'm looking forward to the day when some of those who have walked away and gone their own way turn around and say, wait a second, I need to get back in the game. I need to get back in the game. It's the ultimate game of hide and seek. Every day is another opportunity to search, to seek. I've come to this understanding. I can read the Word of God, and it's good to read the Word of God, but if I'm reading just to read it, if I'm reading just to put a check in a box, as opposed to reading to say, well, maybe this time I'll unearth a nugget. Maybe this time I'll see something I didn't see before. Maybe this time God will reveal where this scripture parallels with this scripture. And there's excitement and anticipation when I open the Word. And I'm going to see something this time I didn't see last time. I'm going to experience something. Every time we attend service, we should do so with an expectation. I ain't found it all yet. There's a new jewel to be unearthed in this service. There's a new ruby of righteousness to find this morning. So I go with expectation that somehow the Word's gonna brush away the dust and disturb the soil. And I'm gonna see something I didn't see before. And it's gonna enlighten my life.
That if you be lifted,
am I in the presence of some seekers? Am I in the presence of some who enjoy playing the game? Paul, set your faith. I don't have it all. I don't understand it all. There's more for me.
That if you be lifted, you draw all men to you. You said if you be lifted, you draw all men to you. So draw me closer. So draw me.
I don't find stuff saying
draw
in the same place.
Closer
I find stuff
you.
As I begin looking and searching.
Higher. Gonna lift you up, oh Lord, I'm gonna lift you up, and I'm never gonna stop, oh with everything I've got, I'm gonna lift you up, oh Lord, I'm gonna lift you up, and I'm never gonna stop, oh with everything I've got, I'm gonna lift you up. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to lift my worship to you. I'm going to lift my hands and give you praise. Gonna up, and I'm never gonna stop. Oh, with everything I've got, I'm gonna lift you up. Oh, Lord, I'm gonna lift you up, and I'm never gonna stop. Oh, with everything I've got, I'm gonna lift you up. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to lift my worship to you. I'm going to lift my hands and give you praise. I'm going to lift my going to lift my voice. I'm going to lift my worship to you.
These altars are open for some seekers. Somebody that says, I want to know more. I want to experience more. I'm not satisfied with what I've found thus far. I want more.
Gonna lift you up. Oh Lord, I'm gonna lift you up. And I'm never gonna stop. Oh, with everything I've got, I'm gonna lift you up. Oh Lord, I'm gonna lift you up. And I'm never gonna stop. Oh, with everything I've got, I'm gonna lift you up. I'm going to lift my head. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to lift my worship to you. I'm going to lift my hands and give you praise. I'm going to lift my head. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to lift my worship to you. I'm going to lift my hands and give you praise. Gonna lift you up. Oh Lord, I'm gonna lift you up. And I'm never gonna stop. Oh, with everything I've got, I'm gonna lift you up. Oh Lord, I'm gonna lift you up. And I'm never gonna stop. Oh, with everything I've got, I'm gonna lift you up.
Thank you, Jesus, for the opportunity. Thank you, Jesus. Your grace, your mercy keeps me in the game. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep seeking. I'm going to keep searching. I'm never going to stop. Thank you. Oh, one time, can we lift our hands, lift our voice?
Hallelujah.
Whether you just started out on this journey, whether you've been going at it a long time, Lord, help me enjoy the journey.
Thank you, Lord.
Seek, find. Seek some more, find some more. Seek some more, find some more. Keep seeking. To lift you up. Shine forth your light. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Ah, there's such a sweet presence of the Lord in this place. Those of us that are still in the game, still seeking, you need to know you can't find anything by staying where you are. Press forward. Press toward the mark of the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. Reach for the things which are before.
right there. Don't stay where you are. Progression, faith. Reach out for new revelation, understanding to help. And I find more in you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
I bless you for being in the house of the Lord on this Sunday morning. You have opportunity to join with us this evening. Corporate prayer in the sanctuary at 6 o'clock. Service beginning at 6:30. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. You may go in Jesus' name.